Hello and welcome back to New Every Day. My name's Carrie.
My name's Jen. And on today's show, we are in part two of The Adventure Begins, and we're asking the question, so who's on your team? So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. We're so glad that you've tuned in again, and we hope that you've had a great week. Mm-hmm. If you want to check out our website, we've got lots of stuff going on there. You can look at past episodes. You can go to our partners page, mm-hmm. check out all the amazing organizations and yes. companies that are supporting us, and we are so grateful for them. But if you'd like to support our show, because there is a cost to running this, we would just be so grateful. And we're very thankful for Category 5 TV and for Robbie Ferguson, our producer and yeah. editor and the guy who makes all this happen. We're so thankful. So if you go to our partners page, you can find a way there that you can support us.
And what's interesting, Carrie, is mm-hmm. today's episode marks episode 53.
We are past our 1 year.
Woo! And what's interesting is today we are talking about who's on your team. And it was about a year and 2 months ago that Robbie Ferguson approached us saying, hey, would you consider doing an internet television show? It's so weird because I never know exactly how to explain it. Basically talking about faith issues. And we're like, yeah. And to be honest, there have been some struggles over the year as far as, you know, timing and what are we going to talk about. And even in our own relationship, it's sometimes it can get quite intense right before we go to film. And at that point, we always sit back and go, you know what? This is a good sign. This means, yeah. you know, we're doing what the Lord asks us to do, because the enemy doesn't want us sharing our faith. He doesn't want us talking to you every week. And we are encouraged by the responses that we are getting. So thank yeah. you for watching with us for the last year. And we're just so excited because today we are talking about who's on your team. Like if God has called you to a mission, and that's what we talked about last week, God, Jesus laid before them the mission, right? And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and beyond. Mm-hmm. And I will give you the Spirit. So they had the mission. So we have the mission.
Go into all the world. Preach the good news.
And so then he leaves.
Yeah. He's gone.
So Jesus is no longer right there with them in physical form on their team. So one of the questions they need to ask is, okay, well, who is on our team? And there was a hole. There was a hole left by Judas because he had committed suicide after betraying him. Jesus.
Yeah.
And so we're going to read that passage from Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 12. And it says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, brothers, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong, his body burst open, and all of his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called the field in their language Akeldama, which is field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us this whole time. The Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart, show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles.
Right on. So they're building their team. Mm-hmm. We were saying how it's very interesting that Peter was the guy to stand up.
Yes.
And replace Judas, who betrayed him. And yet, not that long ago, Peter himself denied Christ.
Right.
He was reinstated by Jesus when they had breakfast together. But now he's taking this place of leadership.
Yeah.
And I just wonder how they must have felt about that.
Which is a great question, because they all deserted him.
Right.
And
that's true, hey?
But they all were a part of that conversation with Jesus.
Because, at the Last Supper?
Where Jesus reinstates Peter. It says in John 21, verse 15, it says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter. And he goes, that's where the reinstatement goes. And yeah. He says, you know, feed my lambs.
Like, do you actually love me? Three times. And because Peter had denied him three times.
Yeah. And so they were a part of that conversation. It doesn't say, and Jesus took him, or, you know, further off. Now, it does say later on in the passage that Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. So I think they could have very well started with the disciples, but then they went for a walk. But John would have heard everything because John wrote it.
Right.
So John is, you know, he's heard this conversation. He probably, he writes it down. So he probably told the disciples. So everybody knows the conversation that Jesus has just had with Peter. And so I'm wondering, yeah, I agree. What were they thinking?
I don't know.
Like, were they thinking, yeah, obviously Peter's the right choice because of the conversation that Jesus had with him? Did they have a discussion amongst themselves that, you know, where they're like, yeah, Peter's going to lead this, you know?
It doesn't really allude to that. It's just something that, you know,
it just,
we're kind of wondering.
Yeah. And now we know when we read the Gospels, Peter has tended to be the one that has come to the forefront. He just seems to be that natural leader where he's the first one to acknowledge, you are the Son of God, you are the Christ, right? And it seems like he's the one that's walking on the water. So he just seems like the natural leader. So that seems like that's the first person on their team is the leader, right?
Sure.
And that's always good if you're going to be on a team with the mission. Who's leading the mission? Like, it's so important to know who's actually leading this, because they help to steward the vision, they give direction, they, you know, encourage and support. But then he goes on to say, but we have this spot. Like, Judas, you know, he was one of the 12, and now he's no more. We have 11, but we need 12. For some reason, it was really important for them to have 12, and we're not really told
why,
except for it could be representative of the 12 tribes of Israel.
Sure.
And to fill out the team in that way.
And Peter says, for it's written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate and let no one live in it. So he was familiar with the Old Testament and saw that as a prophecy that Judas was the guy fulfilling this word that he left his office, and now we need to replace him.
Yeah. And what's, you know, so here they are. Let's take a step back, because what's interesting is it says in verse 15, in those days, Peter stood up among the believers, right? Which is a group of numbering 120. And the previous verse 14 says they all joined together constantly in prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. And his, like, it wasn't just a closed group of the 11.
Right. There were more people involved.
Yeah.
And women.
And so often, you know, it can look like this closed men's club, right? Because it was the 12 disciples were men. And yet it's very clear that the women were a part of the prayer and the decision making and the support. And it's like, that's really interesting that it isn't a closed group, small. It was 120 people that were meeting together that Peter stands up and says, look, like, we need to fill this. Let's do this together. Mm. So we're going to take a commercial break, and we're going to come back and discuss, well, how do they go about discerning who would fill Judas's spot? So stay tuned.
There's been an incredible con that's occurred in the culture.
Evolution in millions of years is the greatest myth ever forced on the minds of men.
Big Bang, evolution, millions of years. People just believe it blindly.
How can you not believe that somebody designed all of this?
We know he exists because of creation.
Not just faith, we have science. It's really on our side.
Okay, thanks for joining us. We're jumping right back in. Jen? So the question is, how do they go about fulfilling the spot that Judas had vacated? And what's interesting is there were some qualifications here. He had to be part of, I want to say, the journey right from the very beginning, when Jesus was baptism, that's why I read it, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us, which is interesting because we usually only think that it was the 12, right?
Yeah.
That were there from the beginning, but
he had a bigger posse than that.
Yeah, because what's interesting is that Jesus didn't call his disciples till after John's baptism. And so that makes me think that these men were aware of that, you know, before Jesus called them, they actually knew who he was. They were aware of what had happened.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, that was one of the first key things, is that it is necessary to choose a man who has been with us the whole time. And we talked a little bit about why that's important. And it's like when you go to a store, or a restaurant in particular,
yes,
I will often say to the waitress, I do this
the time,
because there's too much to choose from on the menu. And I will say, if you could have anything on the menu, yeah, what would you have? And they tell me, because they've tasted the food.
And so when they're giving that recommendation, it's coming from a legitimate place of experience.
Yes.
Or if you have encountered someone who's trying to sell something to you, and they haven't used the product, you can see right through them.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, are you actually haven't done that? Are you actually haven't experienced that?
No.
And so they wanted someone who had that experience.
Yeah.
And same, like, okay, I just want to share this story. So yesterday at work, I prayed for an opportunity to share about Easter with a colleague of mine. And so it just so happened I was at triage, and then it was just me and a colleague, and we were talking, and she was asking me about my faith. Actually, she said, you want to know what I think is really weird about you? Is that you actually became religious when you were a teenager. I was like, oh, yeah, well, here's how it went down. And then I was sharing my story. And then I was trying to remember all these things that I remember, like hearing in sermons and like things that, you know, my dad had maybe said, but I didn't have the full understanding of it, about like prophecy. And I was kind of getting it jumbled up. And I thought, oh, that's the wrong thing to say. Why did I say that? And I know that God takes our experience, and somehow he uses that to bring people to Christ, like, yay. But I was, for some of what I was telling her, it wasn't coming from a place of experiencing, having read it and having, understanding it, essentially. I was talking about what other people had researched, they had done.
Interesting.
And I was trying to regurgitate what I remembered, because I was like, oh, okay, that probably sounds smart. Like, isn't that ridiculous?
I know, but
it was my story that she wanted to hear.
Yes, it was your story.
But I was trying to share from something I hadn't actually understood.
Yeah.
But she just wanted to hear about what God had done in my life,
yeah,
you know?
And that's why it was so important that they choose someone who had been there since the baptism. They knew the story. They had heard the message that Jesus had proclaimed to them. Like, they were probably a part of those 40 days after the resurrection. So they had heard the story. They knew what the kingdom was. They knew what the mandate was.
Right.
And so that's why it was so important to pick people who had been a part of the whole journey. And I know it's really, you know, as a new pastor, as a pastor coming into a new church, I spent some time this week visiting with a lady who had been in our church for 50 plus years. I know, isn't that amazing?
Really?
Yeah, 50 plus years.
That's a long time.
I know, and I said, tell me about our church, because I want to know. I want to know the story. And if you want to know the story, then you have to go to people who know the story. And that's why it's so important that they chose who they did. Someone who knew Jesus, knew the story. And then it goes on to say, and so they proposed two men that had been with them, Barsabbas and Matthias, and then they prayed. So they themselves picked the two men. These are the qualifications, and they fulfill them. They fulfill the qualifications, and then they prayed, which is really interesting. And I'm always of the mindset, you know, I work as if it all depends on me, and then I pray as if it all depends on God.
I like that.
Yeah, because these are God-fearing men and women. They have been praying together. They know the mandate. They have to find someone. Okay, Lord, here are two people. They fit the qualifications. Now, which one
it's up to you.
Do you want? And that can be hard sometimes because, you know, in my heart, I can be like, oh, but I really want it to be this person. And Carrie could be like, yeah, they're good. But what about this person that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, the Lord chose between them. And it says that... then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, and so he was added. So this whole idea of throwing lots was an Old Testament principle. If they wanted to know, if they needed to make a decision, the priest carried the Urim and the Thummim, or the Thummim and the Urim. Thummim.
Not Uma Thurman.
Yeah. No, but there were these two, like, sticks, and he would throw them in so they could make the decision. And whatever turned up, they believed was of God, because the priest did it, then there was a holiness attached to it. So it just made sense. Well, of course, it's what God wants us to do. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So they believed then, okay, Lord, that's what you want us to do. And it's interesting that this is the last time that it's recorded in the New Testament that they throw lots.
Now, are we advocating that that's how you make decisions? No.
No, because...
Don't sit with a dice and be like, should I study? No. Should I do homework? No.
Snake eyes. Nope. I'm not. Because from about that point on, well, the next story, which we'll get into next week, is the coming of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to lead, to guide, to direct. So then we rely on the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit speaking to you and to me, the people on the team, to bring unity.
Right.
So they didn't question the lots. They just went with it. And it's like, how often do we question things? And I've been in the position several times where a new pastor has come on and we trust what we call in the Free Methodist Church, the Pastoral Leadership Task Force, to, you know, find the right people to fit the qualifications, right? We trust them. These are God-honoring people. And when they come back to us and we are unified about this, then we believe that the Holy Spirit has been talking to them. Whether or not we totally see it or see God's plan, we believe that the Holy Spirit is a spirit of unity. And so if there's a spirit of unity amongst the team, whether we get it or we don't, we have to believe that the Lord is, you know, raising up a certain person for a certain time to do a certain job, whether we understand it or not. We have to walk in obedience to what God is doing. And that can sometimes be so hard when we start questioning some of the decisions or people that get placed into ministry, who we get to work with in the church. And we're like, oh, why did God choose them? Or I can't believe the team chose you. And we're like, whoa, let's step back a second. Do they fit the qualifications? Yeah, they do. Is the Spirit at work with them? Yes, He is. So then what's the issue? Well, I might not get along with them. Then that's your issue, you know? And so often I think we can question you know, the people God chooses, because we don't necessarily see what God sees. And so when we talk about the building of the team, are we willing to let God put his people on your team? Because he's called us to go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and beyond. And he's called us to do it in community, in church. And so that can actually be quite challenging sometime when we sit beside people in church and we're like, oh, I can't believe God chose you. You know? And so whether it's the pastor who you might be really challenged with at this point in time, or it's the person in the pew sitting beside you going, I can't believe they teach Sunday school, or I can't, you know?
Yeah.
Then it really is, but Lord, I know they love you.
Yeah.
I know they're qualified. So would you work on my heart so that I am a good team member? So often we want to put it out there, and it's like, no, 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 no,
like, Lord, God fix them, God fix them.
But yeah.
Give me a new heart to accept them.
Yeah, because the purpose is to bring God's kingdom to the entire earth. So, yes, God is building a team, but we need to be willing to pray and to accept the people that God brings on our team, which can sometimes be difficult, but possible. And when we allow God to take that, he is the one that does the miracles.
So true.
Yeah.
Why don't we pray, Jen?
Yeah, I agree.
Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you, Lord, that you orchestrated the beginning of your church and you hold it all together. You hold the churches all over the world together. I want to pray for the people watching right now or listening who maybe are having some conflict in their church family. I pray that you would, Holy Spirit, bring unity there. That if forgiveness needs to happen, that you would help them work that out. And that they would grow, to become the body of Christ. That you want them to be with Jesus, you leading the way. And I just thank you for what you did some 2,000 years ago when you built your first team. And Lord, may we be found faithful to love you and serve you and to accept other people just as you do. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So thanks for tuning in. We encourage you to continue reading with us along in the book of Acts chapter 2, because next week we're going to talk about the power to do what God calls us to do. So see you next week.
Have a great week.